You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Somehow we landed upon Sammy Watkins again, and it's actually crazy how old Calvin Ridley is.
That's wild. I'm just looking at this right now. Calvin Ridley is 23 years old.
He's a junior.
He's a junior in college. Calvin Ridley, he must didn't take his grade school serious.
Yeah. He attended high school in Florida, and he only played three games his senior year due to Florida age restriction rules, which doesn't allow anyone over the age of 19 and 9 months to be eligible.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
He must have didn't start going to school until they told him he could play football. Then he was like, oh, okay, I'll go.
Yeah, he was probably waiting for his brother.
Nah, he probably had no interest in school until he found out he had to go to school to play football. That's probably the only reason why he went to school.
That's kind of crazy, you know? Like, it's kind of crazy how old he is.
That's why I'm
upset.
You know, first of all, right, I hate to do this. Mm-hmm. I was watching an interview with LaMelo, and they asked him about going to school.
Right.
And he was like, going to school for people who want to be, like, doctors and lawyers. I want to play basketball. I don't need to go to school. Do you think that's right?
No.
I don't think. No. Look, you want to get at least a high school education.
Yeah.
And if you have the opportunity I get it. You want to make the money. And certain instances, people need to make the money. So I don't begrudge anybody for doing that. Is the 1 year of college a bad thing? I'm kind of crossed on that. Because I do think that college experience helps them for the rest of their life, too.
Yeah.
Just being in that.
Or you can get in trouble out there, too.
No, you can get in trouble, and, you know, they're becoming a scary place, a lot of these campuses, too. But I don't think it's going to impede them from having a future.
That's
and stuff like
That's
that.
A good one, Matt. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, for real, if you have professional athlete talent.
But what
do you? But what if he doesn't make that money?
What if he does? What if he fails?
Oh, I think
this?
He does.
No, but how about this? There are these athletes, we see it, they get all this money and they blow it.
Yeah, that's true.
So you need to, you know, you could always take the money, not go to college, get yourself aligned with the proper people
that's
around
important.
You.
That's important.
You know.
Which he has. So
he's got his dad, I don't know.
Well, the live stream the other night had more viewers than the NBA game that was on.
No, I
and it was in Lithuania.
Would I want my daughter involved in a sex tape? No.
No, that's true, too. You're right. Yikes.
So, when it comes down to some MLB, there's some news and notes I wanted to get to before we moved on. For the MLB, Dustin Pedroia wants to be ready for opening day. Is he still fantasy relevant, Dustin Pedroia?
He's pretty much, you can get Dustin Pedroia for whatever you want.
For nothing, okay. Miguel Sano, we've talked about before on the show, is being investigated
he needs to be suspended.
For sexual assault.
This is corroborated everything.
Has it affected his fantasy value?
It's going to start. People were looking for that power and kind of starting to slide.
All right, we'll talk about that. I want to mention Clay Bellinger, or Cody Bellinger, rather. And we'll talk, of course, about Tommy Pham when we come back on Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Guys had beef.
Because you told me.
Only back in the Sirius XM days.
Because you told me.
Yeah, but you played into it too, though. Don't act like you were innocent with that. You played into the beef you had with such and such also.
We'll talk about this.
Yeah, you didn't want to bring them on and all of that.
We'll talk about this.
No, now because you missed the Sussman, don't act like you above beefing with somebody.
I don't like beefing with anybody.
Okay, but you had a beef with somebody a couple years ago.
But I didn't. Well, move on.
He was not the antagonist.
No, he was not. But you, Corey thinks I was.
No, I don't. You weren't the antagonist. Thank the you. Other guy was the antagonist.
Thank you.
But you was with it though. You was with the stuff too.
Well, if he came at me, I was not gonna. I was gonna. I'm not a. You know, I'm not. I think I was just laid back.
Yeah, take good don't job. At me.
There you go. There you
I'm
go.
I'm not gonna lay back and take it. What should I just get hit in the mouth?
No, you didn't take it. You was like, all right, well, this dude want to act like this, then so be it.
Right.
But don't act like he was innocent in it.
Isn't that innocence?
From what I'm hearing, he's defending myself.
Talk about it during the break. All right. Let's talk about some baseball. Cody Bellinger added 15 pounds of muscle this offseason. Do you like that?
Do I like it? I don't like when players get too
big. I never like when your players gain any weight from muscle, power, or anything. I mean,
especially
I hate that.
Pitchers, then we hear like these oblique injuries.
Of course, because it's too fat.
Here's the thing with players. It's, are you putting on muscle or are you just getting your body? Because you're going to lose weight once you hit spring training and stuff. And this season is just so damn long. The summers are hot. That's why they call it the dog days of August. And to go through that, he was a rookie last year. So I think what he's trying to do heading into this year is not that he had to get big. It's that he had to put on some weight, which he knows it's going to wear. It's going to burn off. And he needs to have that, be able to sustain it. I would take Bellinger. I feel more comfortable getting Bellinger where he goes later in the second than, say, an Aaron Judge in the early second.
When you hear a player, Corey, gain 15 pounds of muscle, do you just think, like, they probably ate a lot of McDonald's this offseason, they just gained 15 pounds, and we're calling it 15 pounds of muscle?
Yeah, that normally can be the case a lot also. And then for a baseball player to put on 15 pounds of muscle, that could hurt your flexibility.
Correct.
So I would worry about that. But I've seen Son play last year, you know, he's a baller. I think we said it best in a National League homeboy from the Bronx, All Rise guy. I can't think his name right now. The All Rise dude who played for the Yankees. Aaron Judge. Because his name escaped my mind. Right. I'm not perfect.
I would take Bellinger over him for the fact that I just think the average is that he's going to strike out less. He's going to strike out a lot, too. He's going to strike out less. Judge has more power than him. I think maybe he's more of a complete hitter.
This guy right here.
All right. There you go.
Maybe not a popular segment.
I just hate it.
Would you like this, Matt? Take this
no,
home?
No, I would not.
I just hated. I hate when players gain muscle because literally next to the offseason, you're going to hear about Cody Bellinger's in the best shape of his life because he's lost 15 pounds. Oh, it's 15 pounds they gained last offseason.
I think for like baseball players, they could increase their weight, but they should be doing more stuff, something that I've never done, but like yoga.
Yes. Right.
And
yes.
It's more suited right. for that. You want to be more flexible. Right. You don't want to keep hearing about these obliques and all this kind of stuff. But I do think in your rookie season, I do think you tire out. We saw him in the World Series. He was, you know, chasing pitches, flailing. Mm-hmm. It was a long season for the kid. And I got to see him last year when I went to Arizona Fall League. And he was the one guy that popped off the page to me and why I got so many shares.
The Miguel Sano thing, I want to bring that up to you, Corey. Because Miguel Sano being investigated for the sexual
misconduct. He's a Rock Nation dude, right?
Yes.
He's a Rock Nation dude.
Yes, being investigated for the sexual misconduct with the photographer. We've heard about it. MLB is now investigating it. You haven't read this, okay. It's not good.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good.
Supposedly had this in the mall from where they were leaving, from this back entrance to the park, where his car was set up for him. He pretty much had this woman, allegedly, for 10 minutes or so. She had to, like, try to fight him off. So, if that's true, even if you have enough substantial evidence, he's got to, the MLB has to put a hammer down here.
Do you think that this is affecting or should affect his draft value?
Well, if he's gonna get suspended,
we don't know. I can't tell you when it's gonna be. When we're gonna find out? Because it took a long time for Aldous Chapman, a long time for Jose Reyes. Don't know.
There's enough time in a couple of months. Look, they're gonna have to, especially what we've seen in this last, you know, year, in this current climate, and certainly so. People need to be held accountable. People need to be called out if this is going on.
Well, this is a lady worked for the team.
So she worked for the team, and look, there are people around his handlers. Supposedly, nobody did nothing, which is even more
horrible.
That's
horrible.
So something has to happen. Mm-hmm. Something has to happen to him.
Yeah, he's under
something
investigation.
Has to happen to the people that were involved there too. Because, you know, if they just stood by and let him get away with this, yeah, that's not right.
This, he could be looking at a suspension. And what from I'm reading that the, what I'm this is a horrible thing right here. No, this is like really this is like what Roethlisberger was almost
correct.
Very similar.
Very similar.
Very similar mm-hmm. to what Roethlisberger was accused of or whatever. But no, if this a situation like this, especially in today's climate, we could be looking at a lengthy suspension for Miguel Sano.
Which is obviously not good for him, for the Twins, or for his fantasy
value. That young lady, which
is nearly as important as
lady. Look, she, from all accounts, it was a horrific experience, and she had a pretty much struggle to fight her way out.
And Miguel's not a little dude.
No,
not at all. No, he's a big man. He's a big man. All right, let's talk about somebody that does have some fantasy value here in 2018, and that's my guy, Tommy Pham. Now, Tommy Pham, last year in 2017... after finally being anointed as the starting center fielder for the St. Louis Cardinals, had 530 at-bats, and in those 530 at-bats, had 23 home runs, 25 steals, scored 95 runs, 73 RBIs. I'm like, all right, this is a pretty good year. I look at the OBP, 411. I'm like, whoa, this is, like, ridiculous. I look at his total BABIP. We did this before with Mike Zunino. His career BABIP is 356, last year 368. Okay, it was high, but not, like, much higher than normal. He's a fast guy, so the BABIP's high. It makes sense. I looked at his splits because I was a big split guy now. First half to second half, pretty even. Month by month, pretty even. Lefty and righty, pretty even. All those kind of stats say there's no reason he can't do it again.
Things I don't think he... In this day and age, anybody can hit 20 home runs. I put that disclaimer out there.
Okay.
He's a guy who's going to turn 30 years old. Look, the speed was there. He stole 25 bases in, like, just over 30 attempts. Mm-hmm. So that was good. He had a closer to 370 BABIP. Is he a 300 hitter? I don't know about that. He did get eye surgery or something.
Okay.
But this is a guy that's a 30-year-old guy that was in the minors for all this time. I said it last year when he first got the call up. I didn't believe it because I saw him do something, like, 2 years prior where he came up. It was good for a couple of weeks.
Right.
And then it faded. For me, he doesn't hit enough fly balls. He has, you know, pretty much I think like 50% of his balls are the grounders.
That's right. Only 26% of his batted balls are fly balls. 51% are grounders, yeah.
That's asking a lot to repeat the home run there. Can he be a 20-20 guy?
Home run to fly ball ratio was 26.7 last year.
I'm sorry?
26.7%.
That's, you know, that's a telling sign. That's not repeat. He's not having a, you know, 27% home run to fly ball ratio. I have concerns here. I know a lot of smart people are predicting 2020 season for him. Steamer has him for a 2020 season.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You're back, yeah.
Yeah, it's back. It's Steamer. Back.
Steamer has him projected for exactly 2020, actually.
And, you know, and other smart minds, too. So... I'm more skeptical on the home runs and the average. I think the speed he can duplicate. He's going to get... It's his job. He's going in there. It's his job.
Yeah.
Maybe I have a share to... I'm not the Tommy Pham guy.
Okay.
We'll see.
You're not in the Tommy Pham fam? Sorry.
Please don't do that.
Sorry. It sounded great in my head. Didn't sound as good as it said.
No.
Where is Tommy Pham going?
I can tell you this one.
Again?
I saw it last night. Tommy Pham is going in on the 3-4 turn.
No way!
Right, Matt?
Was that in the...
FSTA?
That was in the FSTA. He's going later in NFBC.
Okay.
Tommy Pham's going in the 3-4 turn?
Let me show you where I see him at on the FSTA.
Currently,
joint.
Over 8 drafts since January 1st in the NFBC, his ADP is 61.
Oh,
he has gone higher than that, but his ADP right now, since January 1st, is 61. Which I think that's fine if you want to get involved with that. Guys that are going in his area, hitters, Anthony Rendon, I would take over Tommy Pham. I know it's different types, but I'm going to bank on Anthony Rendon. I think he's just a better all-around hitter.
Yeah.
Or a Jonathan Scope you can get.
Right.
No.
And Eric Hosmer has, look, you're not going to get the stolen bases, but Hosmer, for all his faults, and we all give him crap for, he produces, you know.
No, That's 5-6, Greg.
That makes more, 5-6 term makes a lot more sense.
5-6.
Mm-hmm. But the difference between like him and a Jonathan Scope is that we know what Jonathan Scope is. Obviously, he's been in the MLB for a long time now. He plays 160 games every year. I have a little more power, but no, there's no speed. No.
Exactly. Look, you have to know how you're building your team. You have to have a game plan going in.
Right.
And look, fam, 61, I can see it. Maybe I'm involved in a couple spots. I will not be having. He's not a player.
You're not going out and getting Tommy Pham.
I'm sorry?
You're not going out and getting.
I have zero right now.
Okay. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, wall to wall the rest of the way, we preview the best weekend of the year. Next on the Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time with the Eagles and the Falcons. The Falcons currently are favored by 3 points. Despite 80% of the money coming in on Atlanta, that line has not moved off that three. Atlanta, a three-point favorite in Philadelphia.
I've been saying that I like the Eagles in the spot, but I really want to root for the Falcons.
Right.
I want to see Julio get like 300 yards receiving, three touchdowns, just go beast. But I don't know. I just think they're gonna use their run game, use the tight ends, and that defense is gonna come to play.
Let's chat a little bit about that game a little bit more in depth. We talked a lot about Nick Foles throughout the week, but if the Eagles are gonna win, it's gonna be relying on that running game. Corey, in this mock draft, you wound up taking Jay Ajayi. This is what you get Jay Ajayi for. When they traded for him, Scotty was all about saying, hey, you need a running game to win in the playoffs. They have Jay Ajayi. We have seen him be able to break long runs. We've seen him be able to just wear defenses down. They have LeGarrette Blount for that matter as well. So you have Ajayi, you have LeGarrette Blount. The Eagles are going to need these two dudes to show up on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, no, they're definitely going to need to use that running game. Now, that running game is going to be critical. It's going to be important because obviously you don't want Nick Foles slinging it around there too much, because that means it'll be a good day for the Atlanta Falcons if that happens, if that's the case. If I'm not mistaken, Jay Ajayi put a nice number on the Falcons defense earlier this year, right? When he was with Miami?
I will look at that. I have not seen that.
I think when Miami played Atlanta earlier in the year, I think Jay Ajayi probably had his best game of the year as a member of the Miami Dolphins.
Well, he did. Against Atlanta, Jay Ajayi ran the ball 26 times for 130 yards.
That right there is the Philadelphia Eagles key to victory right there. They'll say those numbers right there, and the Eagles win the game.
26 for 130.
Yeah, Zach Ertz, Trey Burton will be key cogs in this offense. And look, Nelson Aguilar's surprised us all year long. He makes a big play. But I'm also a believer in that defense. I know we did the show yesterday. It was Foles or Bortles. Look, I'm not a Nick Foles guy. I wasn't the Nick Foles guy in week 15 and 16. But I think he can do enough to get it done. And having home field advantage, I think, will be the difference here. It will make the Eagles give him just enough to be able to pull this off.
Yeah, you've been all over Philly. You're picking Philly. I know that. You believe in Nick Foles. You're buying it. Philadelphia wins at home, and that means has the NFC Championship game, of course, at home at the Link. Corey, your official prediction, before I do get to that, I want to talk about it from the Atlanta side of the field. What does Atlanta have to do to win this game?
Atlanta has to protect the football first. I hate to say protect the football because that's obvious. But protect the football first and foremost is going to be key for the Atlanta Falcons. They want to continue to have that good balance on offense. That's one of the best things about the Atlanta Falcons. They have tremendous balance on offense between running the football and passing the football. So mainly just protect the ball, keep that good balance, and don't let the moment get too big for them. And a battle-tested team like this is not going to let that happen.
I think, you know, for me, it's going to be a lot of Julio. It has to be a lot of Julio. The Philadelphia Eagles' run defense is too good. I think Devontae Freeman could be in for a bit of a rough day, which means Julio has to step up. Julio and Mohamed Sanu, both of these defenses are good, Atlanta's and Philadelphia's.
Well, wild card player, Tevin Coleman.
Sure.
See what he can do when he catches a pass.
Sure, no doubt about it. I want to see if Atlanta could score touchdowns. I think that's a major issue that hasn't been talked about either. Against the Rams, it was a lot of field goals early on. Even when they had Farrell Cooper had those two turnovers, it was a lot of field goals. They need to be able to punch it in.
Well, we saw with the Bills Jaguars. The Bills kicked field goal, not the touchdown, and they had the ball in the one. They got the penalty. If you're going to go on the road, for most races, like you said, Atlanta last week was able to do it, but those were really like gifts they got. As far as with the turnovers, it's, you know, you kick field goals on the road, you usually lose the game. You got to score touchdowns.
You do. You have to score touchdowns, otherwise you're not going to win, especially away in Philadelphia. Listen, a team that's going to want to hold on to the ball. There's going to be a lot of running, and they want to hold on to the football. Your prediction, Corey?
Give me the Atlanta Falcons in this contest right here. I think Atlanta will go in there. I think Atlanta goes in there and gets the W. Give me Atlanta 27, Philadelphia 10.
Oh, so you think they kill him? You think they kill him?
Yeah.
27-10.
Listen, I've been saying it all week. I want Atlanta to win. I'm rooting for Atlanta. It's better for me in my pool if Atlanta wins.
Vegas knows, man. I see this more of like a 2017 game.
I think Philadelphia's going to win.
And I put the Eagles in there.
I'm gonna take the Eagles. I think the Eagles win this game.
I want to see how this happens.
I don't want it. I don't want to see it.
I want to see how it happens.
I don't want to see it happen. But I think they do. Okay. Right after that game, Saturday night, Titans, New England. 13.5-point favorites New England is at home against Tennessee. Let me give you some stats here. This comes from Chris Wessling. Chris Wessling says, in his career, including the playoffs, Tom Brady against Dick LeBeau. Remember Dick LeBeau, the head of the defense. I think not the defensive coordinator, but he's the head of the defense out there in Tennessee. Against Dick LeBeau, mostly in Pittsburgh, or all in Pittsburgh, actually. 6-2, 312 passing yards a game, 19 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. His completion percentage is 68%. His passer rating is 110.9. In the last 5 games against Pittsburgh with Dick LeBeau, 15 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
I think he's solved Dick LeBeau.
It seems that way.
It just seems too much of a task for the Titans. Look, hey. Much credit and deserved. And I know they got a couple of bounces and a couple of calls go their way. But down 21-3 at the half on the road in Arrowhead, even if they lost whatever 5 consecutive playoff games there, still a tall task. They did it. I just think, you know, that was their one, and now they're done.
I agree. But you know what? You have to talk it up. They went into Kansas City, came back from down 21-3, came all the way back. So I don't want to say they had no shot in this one, but it'd be surprising.
No, they don't have no shot in this one. They're going to get beat down. New England's going to go do the number on them, going to beat them up pretty good. I don't think that they have what it takes, you know, to at this level yet. Marcus Mariota would have to play a game of his life twice. So I don't think they have it. It's going to be a tough spot, and I think the Patriots roll them.
Chris Hogan has a big day in this game.
So you think Chris Hogan returns and has a big day?
He's off the injury report. Like I said, I stated he was the practice player of the week last week. They, you know, it's the Patriots. They had the luxury. They brought him back that game. He obviously wasn't ready. They rested him the rest of the season. Had that week off. And, you know, now it's time to be TFB.
How can Tennessee win this game?
They're going to have to get turnovers. Derrick Henry, they're going to have to, you know, as they say in Dallas, feed the beast. You're gonna have to ride your horse. Derrick Henry is gonna have to do it. Mariota is gonna have to make some plays with the arms and the legs. But once again, you know, you're gonna need a bounce here, a bounce there, something like with the Rams, like Farrell Cooper esque, you know, turning over kicks, not being able to field that, or you know, Tom Brady throwing the interception. That's, I mean, that's the only, that's how it has to happen.
How do you believe Tennessee can win this game?
They have to kidnap Tom Brady.
Like Celtic Pride style?
Yeah, Celtic Pride style. Have the couple of the Tennessee Titan defenders put Tom Brady in the trunk or entice him with some avocados, and maybe he'll leave the vicinity. And then after that,
Brian Hoyer takes over.
Brian Hoyer takes over, and they win by a field goal.
I think what we're going to do is
I got some avocados. Come in, number 12.
Corey, I think the Tout Wars regiment will be your training. Avocados and raw eggs.
There you go, right there. That's how I'm getting ready for Tout Wars. Avocado and raw eggs at the TB12 Center with Alice Guerrero.
Those deep massages?
Yeah, those deep massages.
Yeah, I will not be giving deep massages.
Do you think New England covers? 13 and a half.
Yeah, I think they cover.
I think they put up. I think it's like, you know, 40 plus, and we're be shocked if they hit the 50 burger.
We'll be at the GST, right?
We'll be at the GST.
That is correct. That's going to be good times.
Adam Rose will be there eating pulled pork nachos.
Yeah. Shout out to Adam Rose. Can't wait to see him in his ponytail.
Do you think, I've always wondered this, and maybe you guys can answer this better for me. I've always wondered, when you have guys going on these head coaching interviews, like Patricia and McDaniels, right? Yeah. You had both coordinators.
Do they wear a suit?
No.
Oh. I thought maybe you wanted that.
I would think they wear a suit.
I assume they wear a suit as well. Both coordinators go on these interviews, and they obviously have to prepare. McDaniels, we said earlier in the show, we think he's the next coach of the Colts. We think Patricia goes to either Detroit or New York. So both guys, like, preparing for jobs that ultimately they're going to get somewhere. How do you then, like, turn that off to then coach in the game this week?
For your pro.
How does that work?
You're a professional. You got to do it.
I agree with you. You're a pro. First off, you're still with this organization. It's an organization that's been very good to you. You want to win the championship.
Sure.
You want to have that on your resume. And so then when you know, I think it's, you know, is it a distraction? I don't know. I think these players are professional. Yep. They know the weekly schedules. Yep. They're getting on a plane. They'll be back. You know, they're gone for a few hours or a day. When you have that, look, they had the bye week too, the Patriots. They could prepare there, whatever they wanted to do for their interviews and stuff. So I don't really think it's a distraction.
I was always
would I prefer not to if I had the choice?
Yes,
they could do it after the season.
But again, they had these interviews last weekend. They've had over a week to prepare for the Titans, which should be fine.
There's just no way it works out. I understand you could put a freeze, but it's not right for organizations that are coming off a bad year. They want to get things going. They don't want to wait till February 2nd.
Right, of course. Obviously not. These teams want to get an advantage. They want to have their coach in place. So as soon as the team's run is over, they can move on. They can move on and be the head coach and do all the head coach duties that he has to do.
No doubt about it. So I don't see no problem with it. It is what it is.
We'll take a break. Two games down, two more to go. We've gone through Saturday. A little disagreement in the Atlanta-Philadelphia game. You guys are both on New England with points. Let's see what happens when we go to Pittsburgh and Jacksonville and New Orleans and Minnesota. We'll do those two games when we come back here on Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Sunday at 1, a rematch to Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. I feel like every time Jacksonville's in the playoffs, they beat Pittsburgh for some reason. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to be, you know, what I remember.
I can remember.
You know, it was years ago. There was a rivalry between Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. That was a thing.
It was. It was a little rivalry between Pittsburgh and Jacksonville.
100%. Because they used to play in the same division before the Texans.
I'm trying to think who else. I'm trying to think who have they played in the playoffs, Jacksonville.
Well, I remember Pittsburgh. Back in the day, didn't they go in and upset Denver, blow them out?
I remember that. That was Tom Coughlin, right?
Back in 98, I believe. Yeah, or 99, whatever. Yes. And then they wound up losing To the Titans, right? That was 99, the Titans went to the Super Bowl?
The Titans went to the Super Bowl, yes, so it must have been that. Yep. But that game vividly...
Here we go. I have it in front of me now. All right. So back in 96, their first year, it was the first year, sorry, in 96, they beat the Bills, of course, went to Buffalo and won. Sorry, man.
Well, usually they didn't lose until
then. They won 30-27. Then they went into Denver, as we said, in 1996. They went into Denver, beat them 30-27 as well. Then they faced Bill Parcells and the New England Patriots, lost to them. Year later, lost to the Broncos wild card weekend. Year later, they beat the Patriots, then lost to the Jets. 99, they made the playoffs for four straight years. Tom Coughlin, man, what a guy. Beat the Dolphins, then lost to the Titans, who wound up winning it all. They actually had a bye that year. They lost to the Titans at home. They lost to the Titans. Wow. Wow, 33-14. They beat the Dolphins in that division playoff game 62-7. Holy crap.
Yeah, that was the, was that the tail end of Jimmy? I remember Jimmy on the sidelines. I remember he had like a horrific loss in the playoffs.
Probably, that was probably it. 2005, last time they played the wild card. They played the Patriots and Tom Brady. They lost 28-3. That was David Garrard, I want to say. 2007, 2 years later, they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh 31-29. Then wound up going to New England and losing 31-20. And now here we are once again. They face the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, listen, this is a confident young team. I'm Jalen Ramsey was on NFL Network yesterday talking big trash. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Like that young man
all
a
pro.
Lot. Yeah, all pro Jalen Ramsey. Like that young man a lot talking big trash. Listen, that defense travels. We know that part of it. They're going to put up a fight. They're going to be contested. But once I keep saying it, Blake Bortles, 80,000 terrible towels.
You got to let, if I'm the Steelers, it's Blake Bortles has to beat us with his arm. Plain and simple. That's the game plan. Our offense, look, it's going to be a struggle going up against that D, but they got Le'Veon Bell, they have Antonio Brown, they can Juju is somebody that could be the wild card for the Steelers, you know. So I just can't see Jacksonville doing it. If they had the quarterback, like we said, up and coming team, I think it's next year. You know, this is the step where they get taken out, but next year you get that quarterback. Maybe get that line a little better too. You know, get another piece in there, and that's where you run.
Pittsburgh is a 7-point favorite at home against Jacksonville. As we saw, the way that Jacksonville was able to beat Buffalo was with the legs of Blake Bortles. The running game was stopped against Leonard Fournette. Bortles used his legs. Obviously, we talked about this so much this past week. Ran for more yards than he threw for. Mm-hmm. Without Ryan Shazier, it's not as easy to stop the run for Pittsburgh as it was earlier on. It's not as easy to contain a Blake Bortles as it was earlier on.
But they just saw it last week, so it's fresh in their mind.
Sure.
So that they could, you see how they beat Buffalo? We're not going to let them do that to us.
Right. We've seen like Jamal Williams go into Pittsburgh and, you know, run, catch the ball. They are susceptible.
Susceptible.
Thank you.
Sure.
Try posthumous.
Yeah.
We were really showing you that one yesterday.
I really was.
So look, they are, this isn't going to be a walk in the park here, but, you know, it's something that I'm going to take the Steelers. If I got to put the money down, I'll lay the touchdown.
This is home field advantage
right
here.
Maybe buy that half a point.
This is their home field advantage right here. Their home field advantage is what's going to be key to them getting this victory in this game right here. So, yeah, they take their home field advantage, they get this one, and then they go and they get ready for the game of the year.
This isn't Tyrod Taylor. This isn't Kelvin Benjamin on
right.
the outside.
Listen, I understand that Jacksonville beat Buffalo last week. They beat Pittsburgh, you know, week five or whatnot. Mm-hmm. This is a whole different animal. I think this entire season, from beginning to end, has set up to be Pittsburgh versus New England.
In the AFC
Championship.
I hope so. I want that game.
Wants that game.
I mean, it was amazing during the regular season.
New Orleans at Minnesota is the NFC game of the year. I mean, next week, I don't care who it is.
Up to that.
I think next week could be different, though.
I'm staying in the AFC, but I don't want to be cheated out of New England, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I'm happy about this weekend.
Right. I don't want to be cheated out of New England, Pittsburgh either. As good as Jacksonville's defense is, it's hard to predict them to go into Heinz Field and be able to beat Pittsburgh on the road.
No, it's a hard spot for them to do.
Yeah. It's a hard spot for them. They could cover.
They very well could.
So you're taking Pittsburgh with the points, you said. You might buy a half point down, get them at 6.5. Corey, you're Pittsburgh 7-point favorites over Jacksonville. Who you got?
I am going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Taking Pittsburgh.
23-13.
I'm going to take Jacksonville with the points. I'm going to take Jacksonville plus 7. I think this game can stay close. I'm going to take Jacksonville here. Final game of the weekend. Main event, the one that you're looking most forward to. I think most people are looking most forward to. Minnesota versus New Orleans in Minnesota. Case Keenum, Mike Zimmer lead the Vikings against the, you know, a team that I think a lot of people feel like are the favorites right now in the NFC.
A lot of people think they're the best team in the NFC.
They do. Yet Minnesota at home this week currently are a 4.5-point favorite over New Orleans. Matt, break it down for us.
Yeah, one thing I will say is I'm shocked at the line. I really thought it'd be Minnesota laying 2.5. So for 4.5, Vegas is begging you to
take the Saints.
Bet the Saints. And look, the Saints have a very good defense too. What they were able to do in the secondary, they lost a couple of pieces though too. That is going to hinder them. They're going on the road. They have the dynamic duo, but this is a defense that won't get the credit or get the name recognition of other defenses. I mean, you got all pros in that secondary. You got Rhodes. You got Harrison Smith. And you got guys on that line. You got linebacker. I mean, it's not that they have a weak spot where you can say they can run the ball. Granted, you have Kamara and Ingram, who have proven to be that dynamic duo. I think at Minnesota, I throw week one out. Week one to me does not.
It means nothing.
Yeah, that means
nothing.
So
different quarterback.
Yeah, different everything.
Different everything. Totally different team.
And I hate to say let Drew Brees beat you because that's usually not a recipe for success.
No, that can happen.
But I think that's what the Vikings are going to do. It's gonna come down to his arm, and they're gonna go with that secondary to shut him down. And they got enough pieces on offense. It's all about Case Keenum. Can Case Keenum, you know, just be good enough to get done and not wilt under pressure?
The New Orleans Saints will win this football game off the strength of Drew Brees making the play down the stretch. I think they go in there, they eliminate them. I think it's going to be a tough battle, hard-fought game. I think we're going to see them attempt to run the football. I think Minnesota's going to be able to shut that down, putting the game in Drew Brees' hands. And I think Drew Brees could make just enough plays to get a 26-20 victory.
So the one thing I caution is, like, last week, Carolina's secondary and Minnesota's secondary is a world of
difference. Yeah. World of difference. I don't know that Sean Payton turns this around and immediately just does what he did last week, which is, like, vintage Drew Brees. I don't think they could win like that. I think you're right. I think Minnesota wants them to do that. I think he wants Brees to just throw all over the field and let Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes and Harrison Smith dominate. I think that's an ideal world for Minnesota. I think New Orleans has to stick with what brought them there, which is running the football. And I know Minnesota obviously is a very good run defense, one of the top two in the entire NFL. But the way for the Saints to win it has been with Alvin Kamara.
Oh, that's the game plan. You're 100% right.
They are
going to have to rely heavily on those two. You know, pound the ground with Ingram and get Kamara in open space. Because, I mean, everybody thinks this guy's a little dude. He's not. He's incredibly difficult to bring down. I mean, first you got to get a hand on him. And then when you do, he's not easy to tackle. He's not one of these guys that are going to go down immediately after contact.
I agree. So that's the New Orleans side. Stick to their game plan. For Minnesota, I almost say the same thing. You want to stick with what you've done all year, which has been Case Keenum getting the ball to Adam Thielen across the middle and Stephon Diggs. That's it.
And the other thing that I mentioned it a couple of days ago, but Kyle Rudolph seeming to be fully healthy now. He said he needed that week off desperately. He feels a hell of a lot better. And Rudolph, towards that second half of the season, was somebody Case Keenum really went
definitely
to, and especially in that red zone. So I think he's kind of the guy that can really put a hurt on the Saints secondary.
You know, it was interesting. Kyle Rudolph said this week off was massive for him because his ankle, like, he was like literally, did you see me? I couldn't move. And what is the noise? He is getting there. It's you.
What?
Something's popping over there.
It's you. You're popping something under the table.
I don't have nothing.
Now that your hands are up there, you see that, right?
I didn't do anything. I'm serious. Mr. Sussman.
The accused.
I know. Again.
You heard it too. Anyway. Anyway, I think both.
My hands are right here. What are you talking about?
That was a weird one. Okay.
It's the ghost of Ted Finn Jr.
Let's make some predictions here.
All right.
Matt?
Minnesota wins, I will say 27-20.
I'm going to go 26-20. New Orleans.
Ooh, so you took New Orleans, you take Minnesota. Listen, I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings here. I'm going to take Minnesota because I believe Minnesota's going to play the Super Bowl at home in Minnesota. I think this is the year.
You're going to bet on the Minnesota Vikings to do something right.
It is, when you look at the history, it is damn scary.
I'll take the Saints to the point. No, I'm going to Minnesota outright.
All right.
I'll take Minnesota outright. We'll come back and we'll wrap up the week on the Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Final five, Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Corey Parson, Matt Modica, and now we are joined by the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. What's going on, Jakey?
What's going on, Greg? You like my terrible shirt for the Goon Squad this hour?
We do not see it. I don't see it in front of me at the moment, so I don't know.
Oh.
Sorry.
We missed it. It's terrible.
I mean, I'll see it in a matter of
minutes. They joked my sweater for like an entire segment yesterday, so I told them I was going to wear an old-school terrible shirt today, and I got a sweater to wear on Monday. I'm just going to wear a terrible thing for them now.
Yeah, Jake gave that sweater to the Goodwill yesterday, and they refused it.
Well, it was a nice sweater, Jake.
We're playing around. Come on, go with this thing.
Well, people make fun of my sweaters all the time, so I got to stick up for people who get their sweaters made fun of.
Jake handled it like a champ.
All right, there you go. So, on this day in sports history, the Jets won their most recent Super Bowl.
Joe Willie.
That's when Scott was still a fan.
It's true. 48 years ago today. Mm-hmm. How about that? Also,
Scott was 20.
Also.
A young angle of the college years.
On this day in history, OJ's trial began.
Really? It started? Wow. Mm-hmm. Training was lasted for a long time.
Yeah, that's
6 months.
It was on TV every day.
6 months it lasted. How about that?
Judge Ito.
Imagine if Twitter was out back then.
Mm-hmm. Jake, on this day, Pittsburgh won Super Bowl IX. Franco Harris, the MVP.
Who did they defeat?
Dallas. Hmm.
It's when all the girls who don't have a football team decide they start rooting for the Steelers.
Back in Super Bowl IX? Is that when they did?
And they grew up as lineage.
It's bandwagon. It was a bandwagon joke.
Yes, lineage. Yeah. Oh. It's lineage. I didn't know it passes down.
I didn't know there was a thing. I thought the Cowboys were the bandwagon team. Steelers the bandwagon team?
No, when it comes to women, it's Steelers.
That seems...
They have a lot of co-eds. They got a lot of fans, period, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But that's a girl thing? That girls root for the Steelers?
They do have a lot of co-eds, the Steelers. And the Bills.
The Bills women are crazy.
The Bills for a reason, though.
Going through tables.
Let's leave it at the going through the tables part. Happy birthday to Joe Frazier, Smoking Joe,
who does not have a statue in Philadelphia.
He does not.
Yeah, that's good.
But Rocky does.
That's a good. Fictional character has a statue, but not Smoking Joe.
Correct. That's true. Happy birthday to Dominique.
Wilkins?
Dominique Wilkins?
The human highlight reel. I feel bad for Dominique because Jordan came and totally took his spot.
He should have won that dunk contest in 19.
Oh, that was highway robbery.
He should have won that dunk contest.
Happy birthday. This is a good one from what we've talked about a lot. happy birthday to Matt's favorite quarterback of all time in his favorite game that he's ever attended of all time.
Favorite game is it? I'm trying to be if you're being sarcastic.
Happy birthday to Cade McNown. How about that?
That was a great game. UCLA versus Texas. Ricky Williams.
You talked about that a lot.
It was sweltering hot that early September day. But the Rose Bowl is always a beautiful place to watch a game.
So happy birthday to Cade McNown. And then Jake, happy birthday goes out to Tim Horton. I didn't even know Tim Horton was a real person. Famous hockey player who created Tim Hortons.
Good for the Canadians in Toronto up there.
Jake's not impressed.
Tim Horton has invaded Staten Island.
Really?
Yeah, it's like popped up all over the damn place.
Judy has a Keurig cups of Tim Horton.
Who's that's, Judy?
That's my girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, you drop a name on the radio. I want the person, the one, I want everybody to know who that person is.
I don't know what was so scandalous
I'm just,
about that.
No, nothing, nothing scandalous about it. But you know, I just want to make sure you know everybody know.
I'm missing this. I'm missing it.
You're not missing it, but you know, I just want to make sure that Greg has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Named Judy.
I do. Right. You've met her.
Yeah, I have a couple times.
Yeah, so I don't really understand what's happening here. I guess that's how we're going to end the week. Okay. For Jake Steele, for Corey Parson, and for Matt Wojcicki, my name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the football. It's the best weekend of the year. Sit on the couch, grab a beer, grab some food, and make sure you enjoy Division Knoll weekend. Have a great one, everybody. We'll see you on Monday.